Welcome to the One Speed MMA podcast. I am Carson Wood here with Travis Mark, first guest, but the second time around. We were actually at your place last time.
First guest, second time.
I did it for you. I had talked so much crap on the heavyweight division. I went out to find the fan of the heavyweight division, and we've got him.
Well, if you didn't follow the Travis versus One Speed MMA Twitter feud.
Everybody did.
I mean, it went viral. I mean, one thing led to another. It became a lot bigger than what we really expected. But we're here to hash it out today, right, Cars?
We are. We got a lot to talk about. Actually, we don't, because it's the heavyweight division.
Well, that means it's the most important division, so we have the most to talk about.
In what way, shape, or form is it the most important division?
All right, well, let's think about the history of the UFC and what it's rooted in, right? It's rooted to see what, of all the different fighting disciplines between taekwondo, boxing, jiu-jitsu, everything, what is the most superior fighting strategy? And then really what it morphed into is who can fight the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go along those same lines. And admittedly, in the beginning, Hoist Gracie won all based on technique, based on the fact that nobody else
could. Everybody won that way. Not just Hoist Gracie.
well, right. But his jiu-jitsu skills were far superior to anybody else's. So he went
well,
up against guys twice.
Well, he had a
gi, he got to
choke some guy out with it who didn't. But anyways.
True. But you take that looking forward, and really what you're trying to find out with the origins of the UFC, all that it's based on is who could beat who, period. Right. Mm-hmm. The origins had no weight divisions. It was 165 pounds Hoist Gracie against 250 pound Kiyumbo or whatever that dude's name was.
Mm-hmm.
But, so really you look at the heavyweight division and it's the baddest man on the planet, the champion of the heavyweight division. Theoretically should be able to beat any other person in the world, right? I mean, that's what it's supposed to prove. And the UFC added fight divisions, but the heavyweight, you're not going to look at what happened to Conor McGregor. He goes up two weights and all of a sudden it's a different fight for him.
Yeah. But unlike any other weight division, people have fluctuated up and down in that and still been competitive. Like Cormier went and dominated through the whole thing and then decided that he wanted to drop down to fight John Jones because he wasn't going to fight Cain Velasquez. So we have a 205er that could have probably made a run for the belt and won it. And then he was like, well, my friend's the champion at the time. So he moved down to go fight John Jones. Then you've got Alistair Overeem, who's a middleweight, and then decided that steroids is the way to go. And then he went up and dominated in pretty much every promotion that he's been in, except for the UFC. So you've got middleweights and light heavyweights dominating this division. There's no point in them even being 265. They just cut weight because it's not an efficient. It's not interesting. They gas out too early.
Well, the fallacy that you're working with there is that the heavyweight division is a thinner division than most. And I see that, right? There's me and you both walk around somewhere between 170, I don't know, you probably weigh like 150. I don't know what you weigh.
I weigh 170.
So between 170 and 180 pounds, right? I'm 185, but that's with the dad weight going on, I'm assuming. So there's a lot more guys like us. We could both cut down to 145, 155. That'd be our fighting weight. So most, we're two very standard, regular sized dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are more of us than there are 250 pounds, 6'5", 6'4", these really tall, big men. So the fallacy you're playing with is, well, there's more, you know, featherweights, lightweights, middleweights out there. So the best, the people that are fighting in the UFC are the best out of all of these people. I get that point, but still the baddest man on the planet is the champion of the 265 weight division.
Then why do they continually get people from a lowered weight divisions going up to fight it, or even bailing out of there to go fight?
Because
low.
They want to be the baddest man on the planet, right?
No,
right? No, that's exactly why you can't. If you're the light heavyweight champion, you're like, yeah, I can probably beat everybody else, maybe besides the heavyweight champion.
No, that's not even. No, John Jones will have no problem going up to heavyweight.
Well, John Jones is. If we could make that argument about anybody else, John Jones has two brothers that are both defensive linemen in the NFL.
All right, let's tell me then, one, what's interesting about the heavyweight division? I mean, I understand that you're saying it's the baddest man on the planet, which I couldn't care less about. Like, I mean,
but that's,
you that, have that
that's
thing.
The point. I mean, that so I understand that from a technical standpoint, if you are a diehard MMA fan, that you want to see the best technique, the guys that are the most well-rounded, that can fight on the feet, that can go to the ground, that have submission capabilities, then I get it that the heavyweights might not be the most physically athletic and talented guys out there. At the end of the day, they still are it's still the biggest fight. They are the biggest. This is a country that's about to elect Donald Trump to be president. This is a country where Texas, everything's
God
bigger.
Bless the USA.
Everything's bigger. And the heavyweights are the biggest. And so you can't get that. They're the biggest show.
Just because you're the biggest doesn't make you right.
But imagine if Conor McGregor, imagine if somebody like Conor McGregor weighed 250 pounds, he would have as big as Conor McGregor is. It's so much bigger if he weighs more. If he is a heavyweight fighter,
it's cool if,
than any fight.
That's cool for a minute. And if they make it out of the minute, then you get two more rounds, maybe four more rounds of just boring fighting.
That's the risk reward that you got to go with.
No, it is. One way or another, you don't get your money's worth. Either you get a short fight because they can't go the distance and they knock each other out or rarely submit each other, or you have a very boring Denver, Colorado heavyweight filled May 2013 card that nothing happens for the whole card because they're at mile high stadiums and they can't
well,
breathe.
That was some poor planning, right, from the beginning.
Doesn't
you
matter.
Have that, you gotta have that card
would have
at
been
at sea
level. So that's the accommodation that we have working with us for the heavyweight division. Every other weight class can fight anywhere. Heavyweights need to be at sea level. And I mean, okay, so anyways, I didn't actually get an answer to the question. Right now, what is interesting to you about the heavyweight division?
So, well, I think, I mean, look at the next several fight cards that are coming up, right? I mean, we have the heavyweight championship is going to be on the line coming up. That's at the end of the month where Verdum is fighting. But even before that, we've got several heavyweight lineups with Dos Santos versus Rothwell, who, as funny as Rothwell is, has been on a really significant winning streak. So, as well as Mark Hunt and Frank Mir. And I get it. Mark Hunt and Frank Mir, they're old, they're washed up. They're still headlining.
Frank Mir is my favorite to watch apart from Cain Velasquez.
Well, he's got fantastic jiu-jitsu skills.
Well, and over the last 5 years, he's shown improved hands too. Ever since his loss to Lesnar, he's improved striking a lot. But I mean, let's just take a gander here as well. Let's see how the heavyweights just match up. So we've got live on FS1, FS1 rebroadcast from Zagreb. They can't even do it live. And then we've got another FS1 against Arlovski versus Overeem. Overeem's supposed to be one of the biggest draws. And then finally we get a pay-per-view because it's the title fight.
The problem you're going to run into in the heavyweight division is because there are fewer men that are physically fit and able to fight at that weight, you're going to have fewer fighters there. That just comes with it. And so I don't...
Really? Not in boxing. That was always the most interesting. I mean, there's times
when
it wasn't.
Well, it's the most interesting.
And that's where that's what you're working with. You never followed boxing, but for some reason you still have the boxing mentality that the baddest man on the planet is over.
No, that's not true. Since 2008... The boxing world has been dominated by Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, two guys that are 130 pounds that put on the worst fight. That the most anticipated fight ever that happened a year ago was the worst fight I've ever seen.
It was probably the only fight you'd ever seen.
I've seen at least two or three more.
On that card? You saw that card? Is that what you're talking about? And they had De La Hoya. They had a bunch of different stars. But if we're talking about the draws that everybody remembers, it's the heavyweights, right?
Yeah, and I think that translates into the UFC.
It does not.
It does. And I think the UFC, what's beautiful about the UFC is boxing was all popularity based, right? So if there was one fighter that was doing really well, if there's one fighter that went on a winning streak or had an undefeated record, he could be a big draw. And for the most part, because boxing solely relied on who could be a big draw, obviously that would be dominated by the heavyweights. Mm-hmm. Whereas the UFC, they give the same, they're an equal opportunity employer, right? No matter how much you weigh, there's seven weight divisions, and a lot of opportunity there. So there are naturally going to be fewer heavyweights. They're going to be, as many heavyweight fights as there are any others, but there are fewer heavyweight fighters, but I still, the very cream of the crop. I mean, tell me you wouldn't be interested to watch any fight, anytime Cain Velasquez fights, anytime
he's my favorite Junior Dos Santos fights. That's where I am conflicted, because Cain Velasquez is my favorite fighter.
And he's incredibly well-rounded, right? You're not seeing him. I mean, it's rare you're going to go into a fight seeing Cain Velasquez. And
what's he well-rounded? He's not going to submit anybody, and he's not going to give him one punch knockout. He's going to grind him down and then TKO him. That's not really well-rounded. He's just got good cardio.
His boxing is what beat Brock Lesnar. I mean, it was the hits.
It was his wrestling.
Well, Lesnar tired out pretty well.
it was the wrestling that eventually. I mean, typically he's either pinning him up against the cage. He's not like using a jab to keep him at range. Typically, right.
So I just think that what we're seeing in women's MMA right now is the same curve that we saw 8 to 10 years ago with the UFC in general. You had a few people that really trained and took it seriously and that could dominate the rest. And then it took several years for people to catch up. That's what we've seen in women's MMA now. Ronda Rousey, no one could touch her, even though she was very one-dimensional. And she's worked on her game and improved it. But now there are finally fighters that are coming in and being able to be rounded out enough so that they can present a formidable competition for her. And the same thing is going to happen. The heavyweight division is just a slower curve.
It takes about 20 years apparently.
It's just but you watch there, the longer the UFC is around, the more big-bodied guys who maybe they're from the NFL, maybe they're not, but it takes more time because there are fewer people. It takes more time for more people to get invested and more people to put in the amount of time it takes to become elite at a sport.
That's true. There will be more, but it still won't grow as quickly as the other weight divisions because mixed martial arts isn't made for bigger bodies. It's not.
That's true.
It's not. And the reason why they haven't split that division up yet, one is because it's too shallow. Really, like, nobody wants to see a 60-pound weight difference. And honestly, it doesn't matter because being that heavy is not beneficial. We saw that with Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez, and now all the big fighters, they stay right around 235, 242. They're not going up to 265 or cutting weight and then going up. It's not beneficial. So because that's such a weak and slow division, people are trying to get smaller.
Right. But you can see with any sport, the more the sport matures, the more athletic the athletes get. Mm-hmm. You see that in football, basketball, and that's going to happen in MMA. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's happening in MMA, right?
It's not as quickly as the other ones.
Agreed. The heavyweight division is going to be slower. I don't think 20 years slower, but even even now, look at any other division. And while, you know, you got a Chris Weidman who's been more up and coming. Conor McGregor has come out more in recent years. They're still, I think in 5 to 10 years from now, we're going to see guys in every single weight class that have been doing this, that have been putting in hours in the gym, training and fighting for years and years to get to the skill level they are at. And it's going to take, and because there are fewer heavyweights, it's going to take longer, but the product is still going, it's going to be that much better when they get there. Imagine heavyweights, guys that weigh 250 pounds fighting with cardio where they can fight deep into the fourth and fifth championship rounds. That's going to happen. And even before that does, they still present very interesting fights.
So, I mean, all this future talk, that still doesn't explain as why you're a fan now.
Cause it's still the biggest fights. They're the biggest men. It's America, Carson. I'm not saying all the individual fighters are American, but this fighting is a purely, I mean, it's a primal sport. It's who can beat who. It's throw all the rules out. And who can take advantage of somebody else based on fighting skills?
No, MMA is who's the most effective at their discipline to dismantle somebody else. And, I mean, we've learned that size doesn't necessarily trump that.
Do you think that's true though? Do you think the average person watching a UFC card is watching whose technical skills can outmatch
whether their opponents what they're watching.
Well, but I think that the drive and the purpose behind that is who can beat up who, right? That the UFC is big because we all, Dana White says it all the time. Fighting is the most natural thing in the world. You don't have to teach somebody to put a ball through a hoop. You don't have to teach somebody that somehow you can win 1-0 or tie and that game still should matter somehow. you don't have to go over.
Okay. All so these I've taken rules. Some shots at heavyweight. So you got to take some shots at soccer. Fine. That's fine.
I'm just saying you don't have to explain all these rules. I mean, granted the UFC has structured things a little bit more so that things aren't quite so gruesome, but at the end of the day, it's who can physically dominate whom, and the heavyweights can physically dominate anybody else. They're the biggest people. They're the most dominant, and that's
the
why
the biggest people should dominate the smaller people then, right?
So
they get a 60-pound, and why are they cutting weight to 235 to 245? The bigger guy should.
Okay, well,
Why didn't Brock Lesnar hold the title longer, or why hasn't Overeem? That's
well, it doesn't,
two guys
weight
that are
doesn't equal the exact number that you see on the scale isn't going to equal how good, or you know, if you weigh more than somebody, you're not just going to be able to beat somebody else. But
exactly,
saying,
so
in general, the bigger fights, it's
even now at 205, if they were to go up and fight like comparable people, I mean. Jones versus almost anybody in that division, I would still take Jones. Cormier versus anybody in that division, pretty much still taking Cormier. Gustafson on top of that,
but
Rumble,
sure. But there are reasons, right? That they're fighting. Rumble did fight a couple fights at heavyweight, did he not?
And I don't know. He's been all over. He used to fight at 135.
He had a welterweight fight. I saw one time that he didn't make weight. He came 17 pounds over and dominated.
I'm pretty sure he fought in the women's strawweight division at one point and came in at 135 pounds overweight. I don't know like where he fights, but I'm just saying, I feel like even the 205 could go up and be competitive at that weight class. It's not that weight. It's not the baddest man on the planet in my estimation. Now I do agree that I think it's going to get a lot more interesting, and I think we're starting to see it. I do not like Rothwell. I think it's a fluke. Poor guy. He can't catch a break.
Dude, he believes in himself. Have you heard him
God
talk
bless
about
him.
Himself?
God bless him. but, I mean, with it coming in, there was a time where it was one of the more interesting divisions. 205 was still a little bit more interesting because it literally the belt changed for 5 years. Like, it didn't hold anybody for more than two title defenses or something like that. But what, in your opinion, was the best time for the heavyweight division? Was it the Brock Lesnar era?
I think it is. And that's the point. I mean, I'm fighting an uphill battle with where we're at now, because admittedly the division is thinner, I think, now than it has been since Randy Couture came back, because he was like, oh, well, here I am at 205 and doing okay, but I could probably go to heavyweight and win a championship. And so he did, and he accomplished that, right?
Go figure.
So I think, but then all of a sudden some dude from the WWF came in and was able to beat him. So every division ebbs and flows.
Weird.
Right?
Some guy from the WWF was able to come into the heavyweight division and win. Some 205er was able to go up to the heavy division.
At that time, so your favorite weight division, the lightweight division, right? 155, am I wrong?
Yeah, Murderer's Row.
Okay. Do you remember back when the Brock Lesnar era, do you remember what the 155 division was like in the Brock Lesnar era?
Yeah.
BJ Penn, and that was it.
No, Frankie Edgar.
No.
Gray Maynard.
I'm talking before. That was before.
That was the same time.
No, I'm talking, so before Frankie Edgar beat BJ Penn.
So
BJ
before
Penn
the Brock Lesnar time.
I thought that was a year or two. No, that was at least 2 years after.
No. We'll look it up.
Okay.
But I can't, because this thing will skip if I even look at the internet.
That's fine. But you look back then, and you're sitting there.
On point.
150, at that time, 155 was the smallest weight division, right? There was no 145, no 135. That division was BJ Penn and nobody else. The division above that, George St. Pierre and nobody else. The division above that, Anderson Silva and nobody else. They went through the same thing that we're going through in the heavyweight division now, where it was thin and there was one guy that was superior to everybody else and he could dominate, but nobody else could compete with them. And at that time, you're right, the 205 division was that was the most interesting division, I think, even to date, because it was champion after champion. Chuck Liddell, Rashad Evans, Quentin
Tito
Jackson,
Ortiz,
Tito Ortiz.
Nobody
could keep that belt. Mm-hmm. And when the time that Brock Lesnar stepped in, he beat Randy Couture. And then, you know,
the
Frank,
difference is even now, where 205 is being dominated by John Jones, it's still one of the more interesting divisions because there's still murderers in that division. I just don't feel the same way about the heavyweight division. Apart from, this is the thing that's interesting about the heavyweight division. If you can string together a healthy amount of wins, that's more impressive than almost any other division, because, like, where they say a puncher's chance, literally everybody in the heavyweight division has a puncher's chance because they are just so strong. And I get that. But To me, it's just not as interesting. Like, I'm still more interested in seeing Jon Jones dominate Cormier again or Rumble than a competitive match between Miocic and Indosa.
Yeah, I just think that parity is why it's so interesting, though.
It's not parity. It's just
it is though, because there's that puncher's chance, that risk that's always going to be there with every fight is so huge. You look at the difference in college between college football and college basketball. On one hand. And this is even this year was the first year that the college football had a playoff, right? But before then, it's you have to be good. You have to be the best.
That's 2 years, right?
No, this was the first year of the playoff. Mm-hmm. No, am I wrong? No, this was the second
Urban
year.
Meyer okay. won.
You're right. So this was the second year. But you look, even with four people in the playoffs, all those teams have been proven every single week, right? And which is fantastic. I'm a football fan. I love it. They have every single week is essentially a playoff game for them. So they have to be on point every game. With it, you know, with every technical aspect of what they're trying to do, each team week in and week out, in order to get there, right? But look at we're about to hit March Madness, where all of a sudden next week, it's going to reset, and you have a 1 in 64 chance. There are 64 other guys, and you're one and done.
But there's still that same thing in
and
other.
So you have a fighter's chance each time. That's why and that's what makes it so interesting. That's why everybody, even my wife, who doesn't watch any college basketball or basketball in general, will still fill out a bracket because she can pick purple to win all the way.
Me too.
And it might work
Purple's
out.
Best color.
Because you have the punch. And so I think that's what increases the intrigue with the heavyweight division.
See, and I agree, but this is why lightweight's light years better. Not only does, not necessarily a puncher's chance, but they have a punching chance, I guess, if more has to go
fine.
Right. They also have submission chances, decision chance. Like, everybody has that because it's a different skill level. Literally, you look at like pretty much 1 through 10 in that division, and I would be okay watching them go for a title fight.
So do you not, I guess, and maybe it's just a different philosophy for what we like to see, because I remember one of the more, if we go back to the Brock Lesnar days, I remember, you know, one of the more exciting fights that I feel like I saw at that time was Lesnar versus Shane Carwin. And it was because there was so much buildup. Lesnar seemed totally unbeatable at the time, and Shane Carwin,
except for he had already lost.
Well, yeah, on kind of a fluky thing to Frank Mir, though. I mean, it was just he just didn't have the technique, right? <He's>... But anyway, so we get to this fight. It's a 4th of July card, and Carwin dominates the first round, and you're like, and it's like, okay, Brock Lesnar is going to lose this fight. How, you know, but and so to your point, well, they're just gassed in the second round. They don't have enough energy. But still, we're watching this fight, and Carwin all of a sudden is somehow beating Brock Lesnar, and then Brock Lesnar submits him, so he has that submission power. And granted, it was largely due to the fact that Carwin had spent a lot of that energy, but the same thing happened to Conor McGregor just the other day when he'd spent all his energy trying to swing for the fences in the first round and then got tired and tapped out in the second.
What are you more interested in? Again, a first-round finish. And this is an honest question. This almost sounds like tongue in cheek. I get that, but first round finish, like you would like, or even a Brock Lesnar versus Shane Carwin is more interesting to you than a Frankie Edgar, Gray Maynard 5-round fight that even ends in a tie, which I know you hate ties.
Ugh, yeah. Give me communism before you give me ties.
Well, you lived in Russia for 2 years. You probably love communism.
No. So I love finishes. I mean, that's, and I'll take them any way I can get them. I don't think a 13-second McGregor over Aldo is optimal, but yet that was an amazing fight. And I loved all 13 seconds of it. So I would much rather, I don't like it, things going to, especially with how awful the scoring system is. I hate anything that goes to the scorecards.
I was actually thinking about this. I was listening to You're Welcome, and sorry to cut you off. I was wondering, and I was talking to Paul about it too. I almost like that the judges are awful, because they were talking about it with Front Row Brian about how one of the judges, like literally her tie to the Nevada State Athletic Commission is her husband was a boxer or something like that.
It's ridiculous.
I like it. Forces them to finish.
No, but it doesn't yet, because you got a bunch of 145ers going to decision every single time.
Really?
Yep.
Who? Name them.
I can't, because I don't care about 145-pound fighters.
Name them.
So that's what I'm saying. Judging is so bad in the MMA that all I want is a finish. And if it's a first round finish, I'll take it over a 5-round fight that's going to go to decision and going to be controversial.
Not me. Because this is the thing. Like, for me, it's narrative over spectacle, I guess. And maybe that's where it's opposite. You're spectacle over narrative. And what I mean by that is I love And this is my favorite trilogy, like, of all time, like, even more than Star Wars. The Frankie Edgar Gray Maynard, by far. First off, like, BJ Penn, he comes in and Gray Maynard beats Frankie Edgar in a 5-round war. And then he's supposed to get the title shot, gets injured. Frankie Edgar steps in, beats BJ Penn. Then he has to have a rematch, beats BJ Penn again. Then Gray Maynard comes in. They have this all out war again where Frankie has to come back from the depths, ties. And then they have to go, they tie. And then so they have to have another rematch. And so now we're into the pretty much fifth fight of the narrative. And there's all sorts of stuff going on. The WEC on top of that is happening, and they're being promised title fights if they come in, and then this is holding it up. So then you've got Gray Maynard, Frankie Edgar 3, and it goes to, I believe, the fourth round. Frankie again is losing. He stumbles, he hits Gray Maynard. He stumbles up against the cage, and Frankie comes in with a short shot, knocks him out in the fourth round. You're never going to see anything like that in the heavyweight division. Nobody can string together that many wins. The narrative is just it's not going to be that interesting, in my opinion. If we see it, I'll sing a different tune. I'll eat crow. I'll whatever I need to do on the podcast. You can be back on. I don't know what we need to do. I just
lashings
don't.
Is necessary.
Whopper chopper, which was actually, we got comments on Twitter about that.
I'm so glad.
Somebody just said, whopper chopper. That's how my morning started. I can't remember exactly what it was, but
that's how my wedding day morning started.
Yep. For me.
I think it does have to do a little bit more with what your purpose is in watching the fights. And I think I am more spectacle oriented than maybe you are, and you're more technically oriented than I am. And I think that
mine's more narrative, I think.
Sure, sure.
Well, because honestly, like, looking at it, I don't necessarily understand all the techniques. And I realize that when I listen to different people talk about techniques and things like that. Like, I've trained different things, like, a little bit, and so have you, but I don't see this. It's kind of like with other sports too. Like, I don't see the little intricacies of what defenses and offenses are doing in team sports. I don't, like, I've tried so hard, like, even being in football, you need to cover this position. This is what you're running. Please don't make me read an offense, because I'm not going to know what to do. Just tell me where to be and I'll be there. That's why I didn't start, you know, and that's why you did.
Well, that's interesting, because opposite of that in football, I feel like I have much more of a technical approach, and Peyton Manning is my favorite quarterback ever because he was reading the defense before and changing things. And so, but I feel like fighting, because it's so primal, because it is who can beat who, like, throw out the rules, throw out, you know, it's not wrestling, it's not taekwondo, it's not jiu-jitsu. Who can use all of the skills of physical dominance over another person to win? And that's why fights that go to decision, especially with the way that fights are scored with the judges, don't satisfy me whatsoever. And fights that are finished, no matter if it's in the even, and that's why I like that heavy, because they're the probability of a finish, I feel like, is so much higher, because they have that knockout power. There is that one punch finish capability that any fight could have.
And that's where I'm always conflicted, because my favorite fighter is a heavyweight. Now I'll follow Cain Velasquez to the death, or until the next knee injury.
Well, and I think Cain Velasquez is going to make a really big jump.
I don't know who
up.
Cain Velasquez is, but
no, I mean, I know Velasquez has had some
injuries. I'm asking you to how to say Russian names every time a new one comes up, and you have been mispronouncing Velasquez for 5 years now, because Brock Lesnar can't pronounce that, or Kurz. He can't pronounce his Kurz Light. And Cain Velasquez.
Well,
there's no W.
Brock Lesnar promised that he was going to drink a Corona and eat a burrito if he beat Cain Velasquez, and he didn't end up fulfilling that. So,
well, because he was probably training for the wrong guy. He was probably looking up some guy with a W in his last name that doesn't exist.
Well, or he probably said, "Oh, Velasquez. He's probably weighs 150 pounds. I probably can beat him pretty easily."
Mm-hmm. Oh well, he's 240. He weighs less than me. He should go down pretty easily. Nope. Okay. Heavyweights, I think we can agree, is the worst division. And so
we can't agree that.
And we came to an understanding. So, but there are a lot of heavyweight fights coming up, and they're trying to, again, set up the narrative that we talked about going forward. They're trying to set up different options once they actually hash out Verdum versus Miocic. So who do you think after that? One, do you think Miocic is going to win? Do you think that's, or do you think that Verdum's pretty much got it locked up? In my opinion, I think Verdum's got it. Like he's miles ahead of everybody right now.
Yeah, if I had money to put down, I would put it on Verdum. I do think that's an interesting fight. I think Stipe, again, I think he's better on the feet. And so I think that puncher's chance is stronger with him. And
he's going to pull more of an Nate Diaz, in my opinion. He's going to outbox him. Well, like, I don't think he's going to have the one punch knockout approach. I think it would just be more, he's going to kind of keep him at distance, make sure they don't go to the ground, and just kind of take his jabs and straight rights, and I think keep him at bay. You were saying, I'm sorry.
No, just I do think that the UFC seems to make sure that all of these heavy, that it maybe started with that card that had four heavyweight fights all on the main card, but they do try to get these fights all within a month or two of each other so that they can plan out how the division is going to go from here. So admittedly, the heavyweight division needs more depth. And I think that as time goes on, it's going to get there. And I think
just in time for John Jones to clear it out, in all honesty, I think is what it's going to.
But he's been talking about moving up to heavyweight for a time now, and I guess he outside of cocaine vendors that keep him away from fighting,
running into pregnant women and driving without a license and insurance and right. So many things. But right. I mean, I think he makes it, and I think he does. It's different.
So, in your anti-heavyweight opinion, do you feel like Jones is avoiding the heavyweight division because there are more interesting and lucrative fights for him at light heavyweight?
I don't think he's avoiding it. I think he was well on his way to start going, and then Cormier happened and all of his troubles happened. And again, it's narrative over everything. Like, the more interesting fight is not him fighting the baddest man on the planet, Verdum. It's fighting Cormier, in my opinion. Did you watch Unstoppable? The presser that had like all the upcoming fighters and champions and on, it was amazing. Amazing. Everybody, like, I heard a lot of people didn't like it because everybody was trying to act like Connor, which I just thought was hilarious. I thought it was amazing. Like, it was like it was watching pro wrestling, but it was like a very professional sit down, have the reporters ask him questions, and it was great. But, I think that he has to deal with that in Rumble and probably Gustafson again. Probably in 2 years, I think we'll probably see him at heavyweight. He'll start making the push.
That's probably fair. He needs to. If he loses, though, what if he loses to Cormier?
They do it again. They do it again. Third. Yeah, they got to. Like, they have to. Mark Hunt, Frank Mir. That one's gonna be in Brisbane.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfectly slotted fight for a foreign country played on FS1 later. I think if both of those guys, Frank Mir in particular, is the gatekeeper, right? If you can't beat Frank Mir, you don't belong in the top five. You don't belong in a champion. You don't belong in championship contention. If you beat Frank Mir, you are right there in the championship mix.
This is the thing. This is another thing I'll say about the heavyweight division. You do pretty much. You're pretty much set for a title fight with two wins. So Rothwell, like, although I don't like,
hasn't Rothwell won four in a row?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't believe in him. But the thing is like. You lose so often in that division that if you put together some wins, I don't know how you can be denied, because like who, like there, it's just such a carousel on who beat. I mean, Bigfoot, but for Pete's sake, has knocked out Overeem.
Doesn't that add to the narrative for you though? I mean, if you're a narrative fight fan
in that sense, yes. But also like, what do you do with it? It's like you have, like, you want Overeem challenging for the title at some point, but then he gets knocked out by Silva. You can't make that fight. You can't. It's not. You just can't. So then you've got Dos Santos, and who did he lose to recently? But so it's like nobody wants Rothwell fighting for the title, or he would have already. This is pretty much, he gets a title fight, I think. Because once Kane comes back, it's pretty much Kane gets the next one, I feel like. Poor guy, man.
So is it, well, tell me, is it because he doesn't look athletic? I agree. Ben Rothwell looks like a sloth.
I feel like he should be LARPing. He's spending too much time in the UFC and not enough time LARPing.
But I see, like, I mean, Mark Hunt, I look at him and I'm like, dude, you're just big. And Ben Rothwell, dude, you're just big. I mean, Kane looks athletic. Dos Santos looks athletic. Stipe looks athletic. Some of them, Roy Nelson, God bless him, is just big. Mm-hmm. Is this an issue in general for you, Carson? I mean, is fat shaming something that...
I never once said they were fat. I mean, not on the podcast. I've definitely said it to you. I've asked why you like fatties. But no, I mean, it's not fun to watch. I can't tell you how many, if they get out of the first round, if it's not the top three guys, if it's not Verdum, Velasquez, or Dos Santos, in my opinion, it's not going to be an interesting fight. One last question on the heavyweights. After this next fight, who do you see making a push for the title? Do you think it's Rothwell? Do you think he beats Dos Santos?
No, I can't imagine Ben Rothwell beating Dos Santos. I think Dos Santos wins. I would really love to see Stipe beat Verdum and cause a little bit, stir things up a little bit in the heavyweight division. But like you said, Cain's going to be back from injury, and he's going to be thrown right into the mix. And here's the point. Cain looked so dominant. He looked like the John Jones of the heavyweight division, right? He had the ground game and the stand up to be able to beat anybody else. He beat the guy in Brock Lesnar and took the title away from him, and he can't hold the belt. That's why it's so interesting to me. Even a guy that looks so dominant still can't. He's had a couple losses. So yeah, I think Kane's going to get thrown back into the mix.
Just like 155. Kane does get
just
thrown
wait
back
till
in the
Connor
mix.
Connor gets the belt there and he'll hold it for a while.
He won't.
You don't think?
No. You can't hold the belt in that division, man.
He can.
You can't. RDA can't. Khabib can't. Pettis couldn't. Benson couldn't.
Well,
Frankie what, has strung together the most title defenses recently, and what, did he have two?
But, again, this is short-sighted because you look back. When did the Frankie Edgar BJ Penn fight happen? Was that 2009, 2010?
No, I was on my mission. That, okay. Please hold. Frank, I can't look up the internet. Look up on your phone.
But that fight, because really before that fight, BJ Penn ruled that division 4 years. So I'm not going to believe just because in the recent future, based on the personnel, it's been
more
competitive. That was
like almost 10 years ago.
Look at the light heavyweight division. The exact same thing has happened. Chuck Liddell held the belt forever, and then all of a sudden it was a round robin of who can hold the belt. Then John Jones comes there, and nobody else gets it.
But that's because of one freak athlete. That is not not because of lack of talent in that division.
That's what George St. Pierre is at 170. That's what Anderson Silva was at 185. That's what John Jones is at 205. That's what Brock Lesnar was for a shorter period of time because of his diverticulitis and love of the WWF that it didn't last longer. And because he's a heavyweight, and it's harder to do it up there.
He never even had the belt when he had diverticulitis. Both times he lost to Kane, and then Kane gave him diverticulitis both times, and he didn't even have the belt. He wasn't defending anything.
Yeah, Kane was just ravaging his colon.
Another thing that I was going to ask you about, speaking of Kane, my favorite fighter, always pulling out of fights, and again, this is another thing that Chell was talking about. Where we live so close to Vegas, like, I would love to go see either one of my favorite fighters. Would you ever go to a headline show, Cain Velasquez or Dos Santos, or excuse me, Aldo. Why do I keep saying Dos Santos? Aldo. These people that chronically pull out of fights, how would you ever front your like hard-earned money to go to that? I mean, we live relatively close to the fight capital. Like, we could be going at least
that's
once a year.
And you're talking Aldo, his fans are coming up from Brazil, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, that's a good point, because I've never thought about that, because
like I want to support them so bad, and I would love to go see him, because like I love him. Well, I'm kind of off the Aldo train now, like after the end of the last fight card, just seeing what he was saying to McGregor, which I don't even love McGregor. It was just kicking a guy while he was down was weird, and especially because like you didn't even have a dog in the fight. You don't like the Diaz brothers or anything. Like, it's
I actually don't. What was Aldo saying after that?
So he just said something to the effect of, this is like a summary. Take that, pussy. And it's like,
I think that's what Connor said after 13 seconds of their fight.
But Jose couldn't hear him. And then McGregor, like Sean Justin's brother, sent me an article from World Series of Fighting, which I guess they have a news outlet too. I don't know. But they came out and said, he came out and said, the very last thing that he said was, when the history books are written, it'll be told that I showed up and you showed up on Twitter, to him and RDA. And to his credit, man, and Chell says it all the time, like, once you sign your name, you go fight. You don't disclose your injuries. Like, Connor never does. And he's like, if you ran me through an x-ray, you would tell me not to fight. Like, a doctor would tell me, what are you doing? And you cannot get these two guys to fight him, which RDA, it might have been legitimate. I have no idea. They're saying it's a bruise, like the defectors from RDA, but I feel like it would be legit. I don't think he's scared of Aldo, of McGregor, but I do think Aldo is.
I think so too, and especially after how the psychological aspect of fighting is the most interesting part for me, and Aldo got hooked by Connor. Connor has that edge, and I don't know how you get it back. I think even before that fight started, Connor got the edge there psychologically, and then to have happened what happened to him in 13 seconds, I don't know how he bounces back from that against Connor.
I mean, who do you think gets the who? We sent out a poll on who would you want to see: Frankie Edgar or Jose Aldo. Do you have any interest in Jose Aldo?
I probably have more interest in. So this is my heavyweight perspective only spectacle. I want to see a knockout. I have more interest in Jose Aldo and Connor than I do in Frankie Edgar.
Why?
I think that's a more exciting fight. Frankie Edgar's fights are awesome and interesting because his cardio lasts forever. He
has the best boxing.
I like Frankie Edgar a lot. I can't say a bad thing about him. But maybe it's again back to the narrative point, the bad blood between Jose Aldo. I wanted Connor to win that fight, but I was like, you can't. Jose Aldo is the Anderson Silva of that division. He's the dominant fighter. I put him up. He was at the top of the pound for pound rankings forever, right? And so I put him up on that pedestal, and I'm like, here is Connor McGregor, just some guy that's talking his way and backing it up, admittedly, up to a championship fight. But it eventually Chael Sonnen, and you run into something you can't handle. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I thought was going to happen to Connor, but for it to happen so opposite like that. I mean, for that fight between Chael and Anderson Silva, where he grinded it out five rounds, had Chael stayed on top of him for another minute and won that fight, that would have been crazy and a crazy upset, but it would have been so long. I mean, this 13 seconds, I mean, I can only imagine the frustration that Jose Aldo is feeling after all of the buildup for that. So that fight, I mean, just the, everything, all the aspects of that fight are more interesting, and how frustrated Jose Aldo's got to be and how much emotion he would pour into a rematch with Connor is what makes it more interesting to me.
See, and Frankie, I think, has shown more emotion. He immediately, right when Connor was done, he was saying, now you've got to come to featherweight and fight me. He didn't disparage the guy. He put his case forward. He had a very competitive match against Jose Aldo, finished Chad Mendez. He has, Connor just got beat by a boxer. Frankie Edgar has top five boxing in MMA, or, well, UFC. I'd probably say MMA, it doesn't matter. Anyways, I just think Frankie is a much, much better draw. And I'm more of a Frankie fan now. Like I said, like, I love that trilogy from him and Gray Maynard.
Right.
I love him dropping down to 145 and what he's done there. He's already shown that he can hang with Jose Aldo. So if they want to do a rematch there, I think he's got the answer. He is the answer, I think, for McGregor in a lot of ways. I don't think he automatically wins by any means, but I think he presents the same problems that Nate did. He presents to Connor minus some jujitsu, right? So I'm on the Frankie Edgar train, like, full force, like, put it on 200. Like, I would love to see that 200.
Yeah, the advantage, although, really, think of any, the reason, I guess another reason I'd want to see Aldo is, think of any other dominant champion. John Jones doesn't have to fight anybody else before he gets a rematch. Ronda Rousey doesn't have to fight anybody else before she gets a rematch. Anderson Silva didn't have to fight anybody else before he got a rematch. George St. Pierre decides he wants to fight ever again. He'll fight for a title. How do you not give it back to Aldo, who dominated that division for so long and in 13 seconds went in too strong and got clipped?
So when do you make it? Do you make it for 200?
Why not?
Because he pulls out of fights. That's why.
Well, you got to stack 200 anyway.
Exactly. So, but you don't want to stack it just for it to fall apart. That's the whole point. 200 is supposed to be the big one. It's supposed to be 100 times two, right? It's supposed to be Brock Lesnar minus a half times four, so it's double again. It's supposed to
that's
be
some heavyweight math right there.
Yeah, that's great. And so it's
Ben Rothwell's following that math.
Got it. He's LARPing.
I think Jose Aldo pulls out of another fight with Connor. I think
he's pulled out of five title fights.
Okay, sure.
Five.
Are you counting the latest one where he's got 10 days notice and wants to fight? And they
no, he's pulled out of five. Yeah. And plus, he did say, again, this is like he came out and said anytime, anywhere. So they said, okay, this card, no, I can't. I'm not in shape. Like, yeah. Okay, so not anytime, anywhere. Like, you need to training camp, and you'd prefer Brazil, and maybe UFC 200. You train too hard, so you might get injured by your own team. Like, I want to see that fight again. 200 and what's imminent, I think, has to be Frankie.
I think the bigger fight for if you're looking for a bigger fight for 200, which is supposed to be the biggest fight, I think it's Aldo, and you run the risk that he's going to pull out, and you have Frankie Edgar fighting the weekend after, so that you can pull him in if anything happens.
There, okay, that's fine. We talked about this a little bit last week. I want to see what you, just off the top of your head, five fights that you would want to see in the main event.
For UFC 200?
Yeah, typically what we used, me and Justin kind of used different criteria, but if you look at 100, the reason they wanted to make it big is they pretty much have every continent represented. They have the U.S., Canada, which are not continents, I understand that. Then they have Brazil, they have a European fighter, which is easy with Conor, and then they also had an Asian fighter, Dong Hyun Kim. So that's kind of like, if off the top of your head, I know it's pretty specific criteria, what would you want to see, title fights, different represented continents, countries? What would you
want
to see?
Well, you would hope so. That fight's coming out in July, right? Is that about the time frame?
July 9th.
July, okay. So we're still, I mean, what, four months out. So, mm-hmm. So there's some time. So I think you can, you probably can't look at a heavyweight fight unless there's a quick.
Well, no, because it's not a Fox card. It's not FS1. We're talking about headlining.
Well, so I would look at, I think that you got to have the biggest names there. I think Conor McGregor. I don't know why you wouldn't look at a Rousey Tate rematch for 200. Even though I would have been more interested in a Holly Holm Ronda Rousey rematch. But it is what it is. That fight happened how it happened. But I think you get the most. I think you have to get the highest profile people. So McGregor has to be in there. Rousey has to be in there. I don't know how they could squeeze John Jones back in there after fighting in April, unless he just has a quick finish against Daniel Cormier, but that would be another person that I would look to. So I think you look at the biggest fighters who have the highest profile.
They're talking GSP Silva.
I would love it. Mm-hmm. 5 years too late, but I'd love it.
It's kind of like the Pacquiao Mayweather. Sure. Fight. Like it's too late, but I'll watch it.
Right. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to tune into Hoist Gracie and Frank Shamrock, but I don't mind.
Ken.
Oh, right. Ken.
Or Frank.
It was, you know? Who did Frank Shamrock fight? Did he fight Tito? I think he,
I don't know,
but I don't mind. Although I'm not going to watch like really old, super washed up Kimbo Slice versus Tito Ortiz fights. I think that people who are still relevant, I don't know that there's a bigger fight than Anderson Silva GSP based on their history. Those are two dominant champions, and somehow both have kind of, and maybe this is my Anderson Silva bias, but I still kind of just give him a pass almost. It's like he's got the age pass, right? Like where he's dominant for me, for whatever reason, it's not, his Weidman losses aren't tarnished to me. This Bisping fight doesn't tarnish his legacy to me. Even whatever PED controversy there was.
Viagra.
I'm assuming. I mean, you get over 40, Carson, and I hear things go downhill from there.
It was what I hear, too. Give him a break. I was about to turn to blind eye, too. But no, I don't care.
Again, those two are some of the biggest. If Brock Lesnar wants to make a UFC comeback, you put him on that card versus
CM Punk.
He doesn't
have any more colon to give to the UFC.
Dude, Brock Lesnar has miles of colon he can find.
You and your heavyweights. Nobody wants to see him fight again except for you.
I don't think that's true. I think there's plenty of other Donald Trump loving WWF fans that would love to see Brock Lesnar step back into the octagon.
To do what?
To do anything.
Okay, yeah, I can get behind that. I mean, if he's going to cut a promo in there, that's fine. I want to see him fight.
I want him to get in there, win a fight.
Give me Rothwell.
Rothwell versus Lesnar. Could you imagine that fight? Two emotional guys.
No matter what I win,
Lesnar would be flipping
that
off
the
audience, talking about getting on top of his wife afterward.
Kurz likes Bud Light, won't pay me nothing. I don't
drinking
know
some right. Coors.
Yeah.
Talking ish on Cain Velasquez.
Who?
Cain
who? You say your name right. My problem right now is the Asian fighter. I don't know. I thought it was going to be Dong Hyun Kim, but I think they just scheduled him. That was my pick, but I think now you pretty much have to make, I think Connor, Frankie, if they make GSP Silva, that's great. Lawler, Woodley.
Is that,
who else is going to be in it?
Again, the welterweight is going through a phase where it's not crazy interesting to me outside of Lawler. So I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, man. Cause Woodley, Condit, Thompson,
but
Condit, Rory,
they've already Condit.
They
Lawler
are,
already
they
fought.
Are tied up. I'm just talking about like, I understand that fight can't be made, but as far as like interesting stories that are going on, Hendricks, like I like that division.
You named the four that I'm interested
Damian
in.
Damian Maya.
I'm not interested in Damian Maya.
Makes no sense at all.
Because I saw Damian Maya lay down for five rounds in Dubai.
That was like 9 years ago, man. And you didn't watch it.
I did watch it.
Everybody turned it off.
I sat through all five rounds of that.
Yeah, I didn't.
I sure did.
I did not. I was
with everybody in a turban out in the crowd. That was one of the more bizarre fight. That was one of the more bizarre fight cards in general, just based on the setting and the outdoor setting.
You know what people are gathering from this? You hate Middle Easterns. Donald Trump. That's what you're coming off of, and you're neither of those.
I'm glad that that's going to be my public perception.
And that you're into nudity on the day of your wedding. That's weird. Nobody else is. They wait.
I think, Carson, most people are into nudity on the day of their wedding.
That's incorrect.
I think that...
You don't follow Twitter.
I follow Twitter,
and they did not like what you did.
Well, I just think for the most part, people are down to get naked on their wedding days.
Nope.
So
I refuse to believe
most
it.
Wedding days that I've ever heard of have something to do with some good activities.
That's bull crap. Well, I mean, I meant to cover a lot more of Unstoppable and ask you more about that, but I had to win the heavyweight matchup.
And I'm sorry you didn't.
Did. I went in there.
I think I finished that fight in mid-third round, which covers your bases because we actually got to talk about it a little bit. It's not like I just dominated within 10 seconds.
It went almost five. It wasn't even close to third.
Well, I mean, the fight was finished, and I think that was important.
I understand your cardio is probably not that great, and you're missing rounds and skipping rounds.
Learning,
I get that.
Learning from my idol Donald Trump, I'll just admit that I won and that I'm infallible and that my argument and every opinion that I've ever had is correct and that my net worth changes based on my mood. It might swing anywhere from $2 to $250 billion.
And I'll do what everybody else. I'll just start talking shit once you leave. I get the mic for the rest of it.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to affect me somehow. Isn't that interesting? That guy like doesn't faze him at all.
Man, I heard something today that was hilarious. That I guess it was coming from Chael Sonnen. It was front row Brian. I guess that's just what's on my mind. Anyways, that Donald Trump's wife told him that he was being too mean to Rubio. So that's why he just apparently just cut cold turkey. He's just done. And like everybody was really confused as to why. And apparently she was like, "You're being too mean." So he just stopped.
Well, I'm not going to believe for 1 second that Donald Trump is listening to a woman, regardless if she's married to him or not. So
that's sad. All right, guys. We appreciate it. Let us know what you think about the heavyweight division. We didn't say at the beginning, we miss Justin. We love him.
We kind of miss Justin.
We hope he's having a good time. And
based on Instagram, he's having a great time. Have you seen those views of the beach?
I don't have an Instagram. No. I do, but I don't have an app on my phone. But we appreciate you coming on, letting us be at your house on Saturday.
Anytime.
Okay. I'll be there for any fight that is not on FS1 headlined by people that weigh an inordinate amount of weight. So not for the next 2 months.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. We'll settle up again. Cormier Jones. I'll watch fights with you. I don't even care if they're heavyweights. You're the draw for that.
That's right.
Not them. I want you to know that.
Well, and who knows? There might be another Justin scuffle where he wants to.
Oh my gosh! I forgot about
just put
that.
Him right into a standing guillotine.
Or argue about
five
it
years
5 years
later.
5 years
later, he claims that we were going to see who can tickle each other's foot the most, and then he put himself right into a standing guillotine. I'm not sure how that works, but.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate it. Have a good one, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.